You'd felt eyes on you from the moment you sat down at the table. It wasn't an unfamiliar feeling at this point. You tried your best to ignore it as you sipped your coffee and scrolled through the morning news on your phone, slowly picking at the plate of breakfast in front of you. Still, the feeling persisted to an irritating degree. Surreptitiously, you glanced around the dining room and spotted a familiar face at the counter. Once eye contact had been made, you knew there would be no avoiding the confrontation. You took a deep breath and moved forward in your seat, ready to spring up if you needed to move quickly. Felix approached your table and sat down across from you, glaring at you through his good eye without blinking. He no longer wore his golden eye patch, having replaced it with a more simplistic black fabric version. His clothing, though fashionable, was slightly disheveled, as though he had dressed without care to his appearance. The same could be said for the ungroomed stubble that protruded from his chin and neck.
Where is she?
You sighed and shook your head. You told him you had no idea.
Liar! Don't you dare fuck with me. I don't play games, asshole. I win them. Tell me where Celine is right now.
Other diners in the cafe had begun to look around at you. You leant forward over the table and spoke calmly and slowly in an attempt to keep Felix from making any further commotion. You explained that you hadn't heard, seen, or talked to Celine in several weeks.
Do you think I'm an idiot? I know you went back into the forest with her. I saw the chapel myself this time, and I saw the freshly dug hole in the ground that you left. Something was found and taken from that site, and now you've got her hidden away in some safe house, don't you? You think you can outsmart me? I see exactly what you two are trying to do, crippling my resources so she can take control right out from under me. I am not going to let that happen. Do you hear me? I will not concede anything to her.
You watched as Felix curled his hand around the handle of a dull steak knife that had been laid on your table with the rest of your silverware. Unconsciously, you began mentally mapping how you could escape him if he tried to lunge at you. At the same time, you noted how shaky his grip was, and how thin and bony his wrists appeared. You could probably physically overpower him if you needed to, but you decided it might be best to keep him calm. So you began to tell him what had happened the night you and Celine had gone back to the chapel. You told him of how you had run a light through the rose petal pendant and discovered a carving on the inside of the chapel's domed roof that matched one of the floor tiles at the back of the building. You told him how you both had realized you'd need to pry the stone from the ground so that you could dig beneath it, but that you hadn't brought the right equipment. She hadn't been expecting to have to dig anything up, she said. She'd always assumed that what her family had been looking for all that time was in another far-off part of the world. Now, she was convinced that it was there beneath your very feet. It had been there all this time, so close to the family's home base without them ever knowing it. You remember how you'd passed a small general store on the way there. Perhaps they would have some equipment that you could pick up to help you both with the dig. Even though it was already evening, hopefully they'd still be open. And if they weren't, you could try to find somewhere else nearby that was. She was resistant to leave the chapel, convinced that even though she'd taken several precautions, that you might have been followed, and she couldn't risk someone else coming in while you were both gone. So you'd offered to walk back to the car and go there on your own while she kept watch over the site. You knew full well she could take care of herself, so the prospect of leaving her on her own hadn't even worried you. She'd agreed to the plan, sending you on your way with a passionate kiss and a whispered promise of her love. You'd trekked back through the woods on your own, all the way to the rented car, then driven it as quickly as you could to the store and back. The journey was made all the more tricky by the thunderstorm that had left parts of the country roads flooded. When you returned several hours later, shovels in hand, she was already gone. You'd spent a long time staring in disbelief at the broken tile and the deep hole in the floor, worried that something had happened to her. Then, the early dawn glow highlighted the proof of her deception in the form of a farewell note left under a rock. Felix had been right all along. She'd lied to you, and she'd run away. Again, just as she'd done the very first day you'd met her. You'd felt like an absolute fool to have fallen for her charms. She'd only ever had her own best interests at heart, and had used you, first to get the ring, then to get the lens, and finally, as cover, to snatch her family's treasure without them ever knowing. She'd spent all that time convincing you she was falling in love with you, only to buy your complacency and your loyalty, just long enough until she could find a way to shake you off for good. It wasn't just your pride that was broken. It was also your heart. You swore to Felix that if you ever did see her again, you would more than gladly hand her over to him so that he could inflict whatever kind of punishment he had in mind upon her. Felix listened to your story intently, his unsteady grip on the knife slowly loosening as his anger subsided. You carefully placed a finger on the blade and slid it away from him.
I tried to tell you. I've known her all my life, and this is what she does. She's pure, unfeeling evil, the most malicious person I've ever met. But she's my family, my own flesh and blood. I was deluded to ever think it meant anything to her. Do you know what she's done to me? To all of us? She's taken everything. Somehow she's managed to get every account that belonged to our family transferred into her name. She owns everything now. Even my house, all my things. She's managed to cut all of us off, leaving us only the most meager scraps to live on. I don't understand how this could have happened. She got everyone to turn against us. I don't even know what to do anymore. And they're all looking to me like this is my fault. And it is my fault. I'm the one who trusted her with access. I'm the one who handed her every tool and every contact she needed to pull this off. How could I have let myself continue to trust her after everything she's already done to me?
Felix pinched the skin between his eyebrows. You asked if he was all right, and he simply patted the back of your hand in response. A wave of revulsion hit you at his touch, but you resisted the urge to pull your hand away. He reached into the breast pocket of his wrinkled jacket and pulled out a garish business card bordered in foiled gold and handed it to you.
If you get wind of anything, you contact me right away, you understand me? I doubt she's done with you yet. She'll show up at some point to pour salt in your wounds, I am sure of it.
You thanked him and promised to do so. You then explained that you'd soon be leaving town altogether. It was too painful now to remain where you were, and all you wanted was to make a fresh start somewhere else and forget everything that had happened.
I understand. Believe me, I understand. Wherever you're headed, I wish you luck. I mean that. We both need all of the luck we can get going up against Celine. So remember, you call me if you hear anything, and I will make sure she pays for her crimes once and for all.
Slowly, he stood up from the table, a different man from the one who had sat down. Despite his promises of vengeance, most of the fight seemed to have drained out of him. What was left was downright pitiful, and you actually felt the smallest tinge of worry for his well-being, but he let it pass, unremarked upon. Felix turned on his heel and dragged himself out of the cafe without looking back. You finished your breakfast as though nothing had happened, leaving behind some cash on the table as an apology to the staff for the disturbance Felix had caused the other diners. Back in your own apartment, you pulled your suitcase from the back of your closet and began to pack what was left of your belongings into it. You'd already sold or gotten rid of all of your furniture, so the place was practically barren. By tomorrow, you'd officially no longer be a resident of that space. You'd even sold your car, which meant you'd have to take a taxi to the airport. You double-checked your flight information on your phone, took one last look around, and bid goodbye to your old life. Feeling almost numb, you moved through all the tediousness of the airport, checking in your luggage, security, locating your terminal and your correct gate. You'd arrive somewhat early, so you bought a few snacks and what looked to be a decent book from one of the shops, and then settled in to wait until you could board your plane. Once you had your seat by the window, you pulled up your jacket, placed it between your head and the wall, and fell asleep for the entire duration of the flight. Still feeling a bit groggy by the time the plane landed, you dragged yourself to baggage claim, retrieved your luggage, and caught a taxi to take you to the hotel you'd arranged to stay at. The lobby was cavernous and filled with a warm golden light that made you feel instantly relaxed. Instead of going to check in right away, you made your way to the bar, where you grabbed a stool, tucked your suitcase neatly below your feet, and ordered a drink from the smiling bartender. You didn't quite know how to feel about everything just yet. There was a lingering nervousness about the unclear future that lay ahead of you. But at the same time, it felt exciting to be on the precipice of a new beginning. As you raised your drink to your lips, you looked down at your hand. Reaching into your pocket, you retrieved the red and gold ring and placed it on your pinky finger. Perhaps it was still dangerous to wear in public, but you didn't mind. To think this little bit of metal and stone was the cause of everything that had happened to you. Where would you be now if someone else had spotted that little crimson gleam in the sand before you had that day at the beach? While you were lost in contemplation of your ring, your vision suddenly went black. Someone standing behind you had put their hands over your eyes. You felt hot breath on your ear.
Hello, stranger.
Swiveling in your seat, you allowed yourself to take all of her in, from the long hair she'd swept over one shoulder, to the form-fitting red dress she wore, to the black patterned leather pumps on her feet. Unable to hold yourself back any longer, you wrapped your arms around Celine's waist, pulling her as close to you as you could, before you encased her mouth in a deep kiss. It had been torturous, being away from her for so long, and the relief you felt to finally have her back in your arms, her scent in your nostrils, her voice ringing in your ears, was overwhelming. She scattered kisses all along the side of your face, her stiletto-tipped nails running across your scalp in a way that sent chills through your entire body.
You don't understand how much I've missed you. Come on, our room is ready and waiting for you. We've got the entire penthouse suite to defile.
She took you by the hand and began to lead you towards the elevator bank behind the bar. You were so enraptured that you nearly left your luggage behind. It was only the chattering family of four that joined you in the elevator that stopped you from pinning her against the wall. She obviously had the same desire, as she grinned salaciously up at you, sneakily squeezing the bulge in your trousers as she did so. At last, the elevator reached the top floor, and she led you by the hand through an enormous set of doors into a huge open living room, itself the size of your entire former residence. Cream-colored leather furniture and delicate, artistically constructed tables littered the space, but what immediately caught your attention was the expansive views afforded by the floor-to-ceiling windows. Down below you was a sparkling, buzzing metropolis, an infinite world of possibilities. Celine stood next to you, gazing down on the city, and rested her head on your shoulder. Instantly, the hunger for her overtook you, and you once again began to cover her in kisses. She pulled you away from the windows and into a room off to the left, which housed the biggest bed you'd ever seen in your life. It was dressed in rose gold satin sheets and an impossible number of frilly pillows. She turned her back towards you, and you understood that she was asking you to unzip her scarlet dress, which you did as quickly as you could.
I almost feel faint. The sensation of your hands on my body again is too much to bear. Almost too much. I want you to devour me. I want to tangle my limbs into yours and never let you go. I can't explain how insanely difficult these last few weeks have been, not being able to feel you or even talk to you. How I felt the strength, I will never know. But you're here now. You're mine, and I'm yours, and nothing is ever going to separate us again.
You unclasped her bra from the back, letting your lips slide down the side of her throat, reveling in the sighs and whimpers that issued from her as you did so. Then you slipped her panties down her shapely legs, kissing the spot on her back, just above the curve of her behind. Remaining on your knees, you pressed gently on her back, indicating that you wanted her to bend over, which she did.
Oh, God, your tongue feels so good, baby. No man has ever known how to please me like you do. Oh, God. You always know exactly where I need you the most without me ever having to tell you. Oh. From the first day we met, It's always felt so effortless with you. Like our minds are linked somehow. Oh. Oh, God, that feels so fucking good. Oh. Mm-hmm. But I need to see you. I need to see you. I need to look into those beautiful eyes. Come on, baby. Come to the bed. I want to feel your whole weight on top of me. I want to tangle myself into you. Come here. I want to drag my lips over every inch of you. I want you. Take me. I'm yours. Completely. Oh. I adore you with my whole soul. I worship you. I will never let anything get between us. I promise you that. You hear me? I don't deserve you after everything I've put you through. I don't deserve to feel this good. Do you feel it too? Like my body seamlessly matches yours. The way we move in perfect unison without ever thinking about it. The way our limbs dance with each other so gracefully. How I unconsciously pull you into me deeper and deeper with every one of your thrusts. I never experienced anything like this before. You're magic. You truly are. I can't believe I've lived so much of my life without you. But now, we have all the time in the world. We have so much time to revel in all the ways we can bring pleasure to each other. Look at me, baby. I want to see every bit of pleasure I'm giving you right now. I want to see the burning desire you have for me and the desperate hope that I share that this moment will never end. That will just go on and on in this exquisite anticipation of ecstasy forever. But as much as I don't want this to end, I crave that roar I know is going to come out of you soon. I want to see the shock and surprise I'll feel when you make me come echoed in your own expression as I clench around you and send you into spasms. I want to see your eyes roll up in your head as you give in to the sensations passing through your whole body. Are you going to come, Amy? Me too. We're going to come together, okay? Okay. Just keep looking at my eyes. Make me come. Baby, make me come. Look at me. Look at me. Look at me. You laid there, just holding each other, silently praying that the world would stop moving in that instant and leave you both forever in that embrace. There's so much I want to tell you. I don't even know where to begin. But things have been falling into place, like dominoes. I got your message that Felix had been tracking you all last week. Did he ever try anything? He did. Wow. I wasn't sure if he'd have the balls to confront you on his own without his army of toughs to back him up. How did he seem? Good. I don't think he ever saw the takeover coming. He's been draining the family's accounts for years, wasting what little money we had left on pointless luxuries and bad investments. That's why I was able to bring every lawyer and every accountant who worked for us over to my side. Money talks. And they knew the funds would soon run dry if he kept going the way he was going. He was relying entirely on us being able to bring the hunt for our ancestors' cachet to an end so that we could once again build a fortress of wealth. Not exactly a great business plan. I don't know. I do worry a little about leaving them all locked out. Desperate people can do desperate things. But I had to do it. To protect myself. To protect both of us. I can't imagine what you must think of me, doing that to my own family.
Yuri assured Celine that she had indeed not had any other choice but to protect herself. After all, had her family not done the same thing to her, locking her out of their resources until she agreed to do what they wanted her to do? Still, now that you knew the true extent of her manipulative abilities, you couldn't help but be glad to be on her good side. Celine slowly extracted herself from your arms, then grabbed a robe from where it was lying on a plush chair next to the bed.
Do you want to see it again? It's even more beautiful than it was in the dim light of the chapel the night we found it.
You nodded eagerly and sat up in the bed, pulling the covers over your naked lower half. Celine grinned her Cheshire Cat grin, then pulled back a painting on the wall to reveal a hidden safe. She typed in the code, opened the door, and removed an intricately carved wooden violin case from the cavity in the wall. Still smiling, she came to sit next to you on the bed and laid the case in your lap. You undid the golden clasps at the front, and the lid sprung open on its own.
I thought my grandmother's case was the most appropriate way to carry it with us.
She reached inside and delicately removed a life-sized, crystallized rose. The stem was made of woven golden wire, tied into intricate knots to represent thorns, and every single petal of the flower was a faceted red diamond, just like the pendant Celine wore around her neck.
I've only done preliminary examinations of it, but guess what? Every single one of those petals is removable. And every single one has a different set of coordinates hidden within it. We always thought the crystal rose would be the end game, but it's not. The hunt is far from over. And you and I have so many more. adventures to experience. Pick one, baby. Pick a petal, and that's where we'll go next. Go ahead. It's just like you used to do as a child. She loves me. She loves me not. She loves me. She loves me not. She loves me.